Yes, hello and welcome to the Fantasy Wildcard Rewind Show. It's Monday night. We are back. And this week we have an amazing draft predictor show.
I just want to rewind to when we were young and back to all those good times. Take me back to the start.
Yes, it is a Monday night. We are here. I am joined by the fabulous Hannah. How are you doing this Monday evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Paul. I have to say, I'm probably feeling a bit less euphoric than you after your busy weekend. You were obviously down in London yesterday. Busy day. How did it go, Paul? Tell us all.
It was amazing. If the people watching could see my amazing medal. So I finished. That is step one. I finished. I went through some good times. I went through some bad times. I started really well. I felt like I was doing really well. I went over Tower Bridge. Absolutely amazing experience to run across Tower Bridge. I seen my wife around Tower Bridge. So that really lifted me as well. I got to have a hug with her. Carried on going, got to about mile 18, and that's when it all started to get a bit difficult. It was, legs were starting to feel tired and starting to feel a bit emotional about things and everything like that. Dragged myself along to mile 23 where my wife was again. Again, I got to have a big hug with her, which lifted my spirits again. And that got me through the last three miles, and it was very tough. But then again, 26.2 miles is a tough experience. It was very tough. I have to say, it was very mixed emotions that day. The crowd were unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that in my life. The amount of people that were lining streets and just handing out sweets and cheering you on. And there was bands playing everywhere. There was groups of drummers, steel drummers, drum bands. There was DJs. There was people just had like speakers outside their house and just pumping music out. And, you know, everyone was just lying in the street. Even people that were in pubs and they were just drinking beer, they were on the street and they were just high-fiving people and cheering you on and stuff like this. And it was just like, this whole experience is just absolutely mind-blowing. But yeah, it was a great day all around. I finished it today. I am suffering. I said to you before we came on the show that I had to go down the stairs on my bum this morning because I couldn't actually walk downstairs. But ultimately, it was all totally worth it. And I'm just bouncing. How about you? How was your weekend?
Well, mine was very mundane, so I can't really compete with that, can I? But I mean, what an absolutely amazing achievement. And obviously you ran for a charity that's really close to you and your family's heart. And I'm sure they're super proud of you. And obviously all of us here at the Wildcard Network are super proud of you too. So what an amazing thing to do, Paul. Awesome work.
Yeah. Just to jump in, we got a message from the people at the Sick Children Trust, and between all the runners, just before we started on Sunday, we'd raised a total of like £43,800 or something, just between the runners at the Sick Children Trust. So it's absolutely amazing. To be a part of that was just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Fantastic. Unbelievable. Well done to you and all the runners. I mean, not everyone can do it. Not everyone gets in. Loads of people try and get in and don't always get in. And loads of people just couldn't physically do it. So amazing work, Paul. We're all super proud of you. And a big clap from us.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it all. But we are here to talk about fantasy football.
And let's do it.
Let's get back into it. So there's not much news this week. Not much has really happened. It's been quite quiet. A lot of people are now looking towards the draft and stuff, but we have had some news this evening that Zach Wilson has gone to the Broncos. It was a swap of picks, wasn't it? A sixth and a seventh rounder. What do you think about this? Do you think Zach Wilson has any relevance? I know he had no relevance apart from injuries at the Jets. Do you think maybe he has a bit more relevance at the Broncos?
Nah, I don't think he's good enough. I think they've just taken it, you know, look, They haven't got a QB at the minute. I think they're kind of hoping to get some sort of QB in the draft, but they haven't got decent draft capital, so they're not going to get any of the top three, probably four QB. So it's whether they fancy any of the others. I suspect they've taken a flyer and said, can we get anything out of him? I suspect the answer will be no, and I don't think he's useful. I mean, look, if I had him on my team, yes, I'd keep him for now, but I'm not running out to draft him in redraft leagues this year or like pick him up off waivers, really.
No, I completely agree with you, to be honest. I think again, he may be somebody of value if injuries, but at the moment, I think, you know, he might hold a little bit of value, but I don't think he's going to be anything that, you know, I don't even think he's going to be a QB3, if I'm honest. I think maybe if he was your QB4 on a team, it's not a bad little stash to have at that point. Just sort of hope for something, but I don't think much of this trade, to be honest. But that was about it for big news really this week, wasn't it? And you know, so I think, like I said, everyone's just looking forward to the draft on Thursday night. And go on.
I've got a question for you, Paul, before we get into our predictions. It is draft related. Are you surprised we haven't seen any trades yet? So obviously so far, well, let's say the trade last year, obviously the 49ers had already done that massive haul to go up there and get the second overall pick last year. The Cardinals had done all of the big trade to get the first overall pick. This year's been extremely quiet. Do you think we're going to see any of these trades going on before anybody gets on the clock on Thursday? Or do you think this is all going to be on the day movement now?
No, I don't think we'll see. I don't think we'll see anything like that for a long time. I think from what people have seen in the past, that Trey Lance trade was a big trade. The 49ers gave up a lot to move up to that position, and Trey Lance turned out to be nothing. And then last year you saw the Panthers trade up to the number one overall pick. And I'm not going to say Bryce Young was awful. You know, he wasn't the best. There's definitely talent there. But I think what the Panthers have given up to go and get Bryce Young last year has left them in a position where they can't do anything with that now. Like you look at the Bears. The Bears have somehow managed to get the number one overall pick, and they weren't the worst team last year, you know? The Panthers are now without a one. And, you know, they need that one. They need to build their team around Bryce Young now, and they can't. So I don't think we'll see trades like that. I just don't think people are gonna pay that value. And I think the only way we'd have seen a trade for that number one pick was if the Bears were going to keep Justin Fields. As soon as they got rid of Justin Fields, I think that was it. The Bears basically said, we're taking a QB at one. The same with the Commanders. They want a QB, so they're going to stay at two. And then you've got the Patriots, and I think the Patriots want a QB. So I think they stay at three. So the only place you're going to see a trade happen is at four with the Cardinals. And I don't think anyone's going to pay what we want for that pick unless it gets to draft night and you see somebody maybe on the phone going, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think we'll see any trades this side of the draft. Or I'd be shocked if we've seen any big trades like that this side of the draft. What do you think? Do you think we'll see any, or you agree?
No, I mean, I think if they were going to happen, they will have happened by now. And I agree with you, Paul. I think because one and two are set that they're already taking QBs, and we actually don't totally know who the Commanders are going to take at this point. I think the teams probably want to wait and see who goes second, who's available at three and four before they decide to make their moves up. Because if you move up to four and actually the guy you wanted goes in the top three, well, then you've lost a lot of draft capital to then, you know, not pick the guy that you wanted. So, yeah, I agree. I think the teams that have the option to move up probably kind of waiting to see who's going to be there before they make their final decisions.
Yeah, I agree with you, to be honest. Should we get into our draft predictor?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So Lewis has kindly set us up this draft predictor where we've basically got couple of the guys from the wildcard team to give us their predictions as well. So we'll start with the first thing, and what Lewis has done for us is he's gone for the second overall pick. Now, four of us, there's me, you, Ali, and Jack, have all gone for the same player. We all think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And Lewis thinks it's going to be Drake May. So again, with this one, I think this goes back to what you were saying about the Commanders. And like, I don't think anyone can really predict who they're going to go for at the moment. But me and you both agree Jaden Daniels, and the consensus of the room is Jaden Daniels. And I think that would be the smart pick, to be honest. If you were at the Commanders, would you pick Jaden Daniels, or would you rather, or let's put it this way, if the Bengals were at two, which player would you rather?
I think I'd prefer Drake May, you know.
Would you?
Yeah. Because I like Jaden Daniels from a fantasy perspective, because if he can stay on the field, he's going to rush a lot, and I think that's going to give you fantasy points. But the thing that worries me is he's played in college, I think it's 5 years now, and this year was the only year really when he kind of broke out, you know?
Yeah.
He's an older prospect. Drake May's only played for 2 years. Granted, this season wasn't as good as his previous season. And yes, he's still got some work to do, but he's very young. I think he'd be quite malleable. And, you know, I think he would be a fast learner. Now, I might fall flat on my face here and he turns out to be a bust, but I don't know. I have my concerns about Jaden Daniels. And the other thing that I'm not sure about is, obviously, there's a lot of murmurings now that Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick. What I can't decide is this smoke? Because actually they want to take Drake May and they just don't want anyone to know. Or is this truly, you know, what they're going to do? Because this is the perfect kind of time of the calendar where all sorts of rubbish comes out, you know, and ultimately you never actually totally know who they're going to pick. Obviously, we know Caleb's going to go one, but two, I'm still unsure. As I say, I wonder whether, you know, with all of these talks about Daniels, they actually pull the trigger on May. But I just couldn't, I found it difficult to decide, but in the end, I couldn't quite decide on May. You would prefer Daniels, would you, if the Arizona Cardinals were there on the clock at two?
Well, if the Cardinals were on the clock at two, I'd prefer Marvin Harris Jr. because we've got Kyler Murray and he's just amazing. but if we didn't have a QB, I think I'd lean the same as you. I know I've put Jaden Daniels here, but I think I'd prefer Drake May. I think he brings something different. But going back to your smoke and you know, I know teams like to do this, but what benefit do you think the Commanders have by sort of saying, oh yeah, we think we're going to go Jaden Daniels here and then pull the trigger on Drake May? Are they hoping that somebody comes to them and goes, oh well, we want Drake May, and offer a trade with them or something like that? Do you think that they may be trying to get that? Because I just don't think many teams are going to fall for that this year, and I don't see the benefit them
I do get what you're saying about that, but I think sometimes teams just don't want what they're going to do to be out there before they make the pick, if you know what I mean.
But then last year we seen it with CJ Stroud, didn't we? And everyone was there like, oh yeah, he's dropping down people's boards and he's not as good as what everyone thinks and stuff like this. And actually he turned out to be a really good quarterback and a really good pick. So maybe that's what we're seeing. And, you know, Drake May's actually the one that people actually want. But that'll take us to the next column. And the next column is the third overall pick. And obviously Lewis, who went for Drake May as a second overall pick, has predicted that Jaden Daniels will be the third overall pick and go to the Patriots, whereas me, you, Ali and Jack have all said Drake May is the third pick. Could you see, I know you've said Drake May, but do you think that maybe this is where somebody pulls the trigger with a different QB, or do you just completely agree that the first three picks are going to be all QBs and they're all going to be they're all going to be these three, Caleb, Drake May and Jaden Daniels? Do you see like JJ McCarthy or somebody like that sneaking as the third pick?
I'd be surprised. I think this is going to be these three, and I think either Patriots stick and pick or someone who wants a QB trades up. But you see, if you want, I personally think if you wanted JJ McCarthy, you could trade into the fourth overall pick, if you know what I mean. I think everyone has these as the top three. And I think if you like JJ, I think you could give up less draft capital and go to Arizona's pick, then going up to the Patriots pick. So as I say, I think depending on who's there, I think the Patriots either stick and pick or they trade back and ultimately someone else comes up. There's been murmurings that the Vikings and the Raiders both like Drake May. So if he's there at three, then I think they're going to try and push the Patriots to, you know, to trade down. I suspect the Patriots will stick and pick no matter what. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, now, I completely agree, to be fair.
What I want to happen is I want Drake May to go to Washington and I want Jaden Daniels to go to the Patriots, because I have less faith in Jaden Daniels and the Patriots is so terrible that kind of if he doesn't get going, I'm not too bothered. But I think if Jaden Daniels goes to Washington and then Drake May goes to the Patriots, there's a chance that both of them are rubbish because the Patriots are just so terrible at the minute and he hasn't really got anything around him, that I'll be quite upset. I mean, I guess they could sit him because they've got Jacoby Brissett, but I don't think they'll want to. If you pick them at three, I think they'll want to play him.
Yeah, I kind of feel if they've given that kind of draft capital, they want to, they see a future for him. But yeah, to me, I sort of agree with you in a sense that I think these are the top three. And then I think, if I'm honest, if I was in charge of any one of these teams, I'd sort of be looking at if them three, if I was somebody like the Vikings, and I know this pick's going to come later on, this question is going to come later on about them trading. I think, to me, I wouldn't even be ringing New England about this. I think if you see them three, they're the three that need a QB. You've got the Bears, the Washington Commanders, and you've got New England. They all need a QB. At four, the Arizona Cardinals don't need a QB. So you're going to sort of go, they're not going to go QB. The Chargers are not going to go QB. Because you've got Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert. Unless they're trading one of them players away, they're not going to take a QB at four, at four or five in this draft. So to me, they're the people that you look at for your trades. Now, that's, you know, to me, you're going to pay a cheaper price if you trade up to four or five. So I don't think you see a trade for any one of them three. I think you see all three of them teams, the Bears, the Commanders and the Patriots, will all take QBs. And I think the Vikings will be foolish if they're to ring the Patriots and sort of try and trade with them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, shall we talk about the Vikings question then, since we kind of naturally got to it? Because obviously, Lewis's question was, do they trade into the top five? Now, what I find interesting, before we talk about what different people have said, what I find interesting is that you've already said that we know that these teams at four and five do not need a QB. So if they stick and pick, they're not going to take a QB. So the question is, do you think that they need to get into the top five to be able to take JJ McCarthy, if that's who they like, as the fourth QB? Because in a way, I could potentially say not necessarily. Like, they have, it depends, doesn't it, if someone else wants to jump up as well. So Denver is one. Well, they don't have any draft capital, so they're going to really struggle. The next one is the Raiders. Yeah, they're a risk, but you have the highest draft capital here. So could they, you know, theoretically trade into six, say, rather than having to go all the way up to four? I guess it depends on how desperate you are for your QB and you're going to risk someone jumping ahead of you. But I don't know.
My worry with six is the New York Giants. Now, yeah, they're a team I could see going for somebody like a JJ McCarthy. You know, depends on what they think their future with Daniel Jones is, because I believe they can get out of Daniel Jones' contract after the next season. So if they're quite happy to take JJ McCarthy and maybe sit in behind Daniels, or maybe sort of go, do you know what, we'll play Daniel Jones until sort of the bye week and then we'll transition to JJ McCarthy or something like that. That would be my worry. My worry. So to me, I don't think I would. So the question is, do you think the Vikings trade up into the top five? Now, me, you, and Ali have all put no. Lewis and Jack have put yes. Now, I suppose Arizona, yes, that's the one, that's the big one, the big talk. They reckon that the Arizona Cardinals will trade with the Vikings if they're going to trade, because that's the next spot. You know, I think, yeah, the only way that they're trading into the top five is if Denver are on the phone and if the Raiders are on the phone. Now, go on.
No, well, I was just going to say that, like, you know, for me, if they were comfortable with JJ McCarthy, like if JJ McCarthy was their guy, right? And we're all assuming that he's going to be number four. Or if you liked all four of these QBs, right, and you're comfortable with having them as your quarterback, why wouldn't you have already traded up to four at this point? Like, yeah, if you know that at number four, the worst you're going to get is JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, let's whoever of those fall, and you're happy with any of those QBs, why don't you just pull the trigger and go up to four now? But they haven't done it. So that makes me think either they like someone else more than JJ McCarthy and they want to try get into three if the person that they like falls, or they don't like JJ McCarthy and therefore they don't want to trade up at all.
Yeah, I don't think JJ McCarthy warrants that top five draft capital, if I'm honest. I think if there wasn't so many teams that were QB needy, I think you'd see him drop to where the Vikings are. What are the Vikings, 11 or 12, aren't they? So I think you'd see him drop to that point. But because you've got so many teams that are needing a QB, you know, that I think that is pushing the value of these QBs up so high at the moment. You know, I think yes, there are three teams that are going to go QB, 1, 2, 3. But I think that's because all three teams need a QB, 1, 2, 3. Whereas, you know, I couldn't even tell you the last time you saw an NFL draft where it was QB, 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 and potentially another team trading into that fourth spot to go another QB. You know, so I just think, I think you may be right. I think if they were going to do it, they'd have already done it, and they haven't. So that obviously puts a bit of doubt on you, you know. I don't think they trade up to three. I think the Patriots would be quite silly if they were to trade out of that three spot and give up. You know, they'd obviously have to take a lot of draft capital. And I suppose that's kind of what they need. Like you said, they're a bit of a mess. They've got nothing going for them. They've not got many players around these top guys. So yeah, maybe they do go, do you know what? We'll take a Vikings trade up to three. We'll get some draft capital. We'll move back to 11. We'll roll with a backup QB for this year. Like you said, Jacoby Brissett. We'll build on other positions. We'll build an O-line or something like that first, and we'll gain draft capital, and we'll go back next year and go, you know, go back to the QB sort of pool next year. I don't know. But like I said, I put no. I don't think the Vikings trade up. I think this is your smoke screen. I think there's a lot of talk of the Vikings moving up, and I kind of agree with what you're saying. If they were going to move up, they'd have already done it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, your discussion about the Patriots, ultimately it's about what is your philosophy for team building, right? You know, do you have it, well, this is my only opportunity to get a QB, I'm going to just pick here, even though my team is, I don't have the supporting cast, or do I move, trade back, get a load of assets, try and build up the team, and then try go back to the QB well? Now, the Vikings are kind of in that situation at the moment, aren't they, where they need a QB, but their team, they've built, you know, the team is there, but they need the QB. And then now they're struggling to kind of get what they want because they've done so well. The other thing that I find interesting is that, you know, they say, oh, well, they've got another first round pick. They got that first round pick because they want to be able to move up. But from the rumours that I heard, it was actually the Texans that approached the Vikings and said, do you want to trade? We want an extra second because we want to get Stephon Diggs. And so then the Vikings were like, yeah, okay. So I think the Vikings did that to give themselves flexibility to trade up if they wanted to. But I don't think they got that to say, we're definitely trading up. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't in the end, and they say, okay, we've got two first rounders, we'll stick and pick, or we'll trade back for one of them or whatever, and we'll just roll with Sam Darnold this year and we'll see where the wind takes us. Maybe we'll get Dak next year.
Did you say they'll get Dak next year?
Could be an option.
I absolutely love that. That would, oh, roll with Sam Darnold this year, get Dak next year. Oh, we know Sam Darnold was a one overall, wasn't he? Sam Darnold, you know what I mean? That's right. This could be his moment.
Look
what we've seen with Baker Mayfield, you know.
How many years have we waited for Sam Darnold to be good?
Now Baker ended up at the Buccaneers, and all of a sudden he was a great player. Maybe they don't even take a QB. Maybe
they might not. This is the thing.
Maybe they trade up and take Marvin Harris Jr. and they got Justin Jefferson and Marvin Harris Jr. on the same team. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think ultimately they just want flexibility, and they'll kind of go with, you know, how things go. They might try trade up. I just don't think they're going to feel like they have to do it. Like if Arizona or the Chargers are demanding too much, then I think they're comfortable to say, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to build up the roster further, and then we'll sort out QB moving forward. Yeah. I just don't feel like they feel forced that they have to take one. And I think that's a good position to be in.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And that takes us back to what we were saying at the start. I think teams have been burnt with making these big trades recently, that I think they're being more reserved with it and just sort of going, do you know what? We're not going to pay that, because that's throwing all of our eggs in one basket. And if they go for JJ McCarthy and everything like this, and he doesn't turn out to be great, then they've used, you know, they could use both their first round picks to the Cardinals, move up. He turns out to be rubbish. The Cardinals end up picking a couple of good players. It works in the favor for the Cardinals, you know, and I'd love it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, for the Vikings, they're throwing all their eggs in one basket, like the Panthers did. They threw everything at the Bears to have that number one overall pick. It's not worked for them. The Bears are laughing. They've got a number one pick now this year for not even coming last. And I just think teams are very reserved with when it comes to making these big trades now. But we're speaking of trades. Our next one is over under four trades in round one. Now, Lewis, Ali and Jack have all said over, that there will be four trades in round one, or over four trades in round one. Me and you have been really good, and we've both said under. So why do you think under on four trades for this? I'm guessing me and you've got the same opinion here.
I just think four trades is a lot of trades to see. And, you know, you are giving up quite a lot of draft capital to move around in the first round. And I just think, yes, there are quite a few teams that are open to moving, you know, around. But is it going to be that many? It might be. I mean, the thing is, as soon as someone moves up for a QB, there's probably going to be some sort of domino effect. And, you know, we're going to have all sorts of different bits and bobs. I suppose the difficulty is that that's moving back as well as moving up. So I could see quite a few in the later half of the first round trading back, because, you know, I think although this draft is reasonably player heavy in the first round, I think once you get past the first kind of 20, you know, whoever you take at 25 versus 35, 40 is probably very similar. So I could see quite a few trades out. I've just noticed an issue with this question though, Paul, because what happens if there's four trades? Nobody wins.
Yeah, well, we can blame Lewis for that. So what we'll say is over 4.5.
That's more like it.
Lewis is not here to defend himself, so we'll say over 4.5 trades. Lewis, that's really bad by you to put that, to be honest. But yeah, I kind of agree with you in a sense that I think four trades is a lot. To be honest, I think if we do see four trades, we'll see a lot of trades in the second half of the draft, and that's teams moving out. But I think we do this every year, and I think a lot of people do this because there's so much talk about teams moving and teams doing this and players hyped and everything like this. And, you know, we get to that draft, and that reality of what we all want comes into play, like, you know. And it always reminds me of that season where Malik Willis, and that season, and they were like, oh, there could be 3-4 QBs going round one and everything like this. And, you know, the only QB that went in round one that year was Kenny Pickett. Now, I'm not saying there's only going to be one QB. What I'm saying is we all build this draft and this sort of bubble around it that we're all like, oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And there's going to be loads of trades and people moving and doing everything like this. And I just think it's going to be a normal sort of draft night. And I just think it's going to be quite a boring sort of predictable scenario. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if we see, you know, them three QBs go 1, 2, 3. Marvin Harris Jr. go 4. Then, you know, and before you know it, we're getting to pick 7 or 8 and we still haven't even seen a trade because nobody wants to change and everything like this. And it just, it turns out to be quite a chalky sort of draft night, if I'm honest. Are you sort of similar?
Yeah, I mean, my suspicion is that there'll be a lot more wheeling and dealing in the second and third rounds because I think this class, I think there's quite a lot of decent talent in the first three rounds and then it drops off quite quickly. So I suspect there's probably going to be quite a bit of wheeling and dealing probably on day two rather than too much on day one. I think, like you say, people get a bit overexcited. They want to see all these trades. They want to see, you know, whatever wide receiver T. Higgins go to somewhere else and Bengals trade and, you know, all this kind of stuff like we saw with A.J. Brown and things like that. Yeah, I just think it takes a lot to pull off these first round trades and I'm just not convinced we're going to get 4 or more.
It's great because me and you agree.
I know, it makes a change, doesn't it, Paul? We'll be wrong then, won't we? We'll be wrong.
A lot. We'll have to change something now, you know. Right, so we're going to go to last pick of round one.
This is quite a hard one.
Yeah, I think this was a stinky question, to be honest. Thanks, Lewis. So this is the player that you think is going to be taken last. And I just want to thank Ali for giving me the hardest name ever to pronounce. So Jack has gone for Xavier Worthy, which I love that pick. I think that's a great pick. Ali's gone for Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Well done, Paul. Nailed good it. Work.
Thank you. Louis, you've gone for Graham Barton. And I've weirdly gone for the same as Lewis. I know I haven't put it on the show sheet, but I'm going the same as Lewis. And that's Michael Penix. And I think he could be a sneaky player here that could turn out to be quite a good player. And I think somebody may, do you remember what they did with Lamar Jackson when the Ravens did that, where they snuck back into the back end of the first round and they picked up Lamar Jackson just so they could get his fifth year option with it and stuff like that. And I think you might see a team, and I think Lewis is thinking the same thing, where they jump in last pick and pick him so they've got that fifth year option if he turns out to be a hit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, every year we talk about this, oh, someone could jump in the back of the first round and take one of these QBs. You know, I think we said it every year. We said it for Will Levis. Like you said, we said it for Malik Willis. You know, we've said it for so many. And it never happens. And okay, yes, maybe like the second tier of players, QBs in this year is probably more talented than, you know, than the rest, but I don't know. I just think everyone loves to say it always, but how often does it happen? Like it happened once, didn't it, with Lamar? And I think people are not so bothered anymore. Like, you know, I think people kind of, surely you've figured out whether the guy's good or not by year 4, and you're either going to pay him or you're going to get rid, right?
Yeah, I suppose, but it's also that cheap way of going, oh yeah, we're going to take your fifth year option, and then, you know, and then they can like tag you, so before you know it they've played for 6 years and you haven't given the contract yet and stuff like that, you know. And I suppose it's just a way of having 6 cheap years and then going, oh yeah, thanks very much, see you later, bye.
Yeah, but I think I personally think, you know, if you need 6 cheap years, you know, and you're getting rid of them after 6 years, they're not good enough. So
yeah, I suppose.
You probably moved on by then, you know?
I suppose it's the same as the Mr. Irrelevant pick as well, isn't it? It's every year we're hoping that that's going to be a Tom Brady or a Brock Purdy, you know? Somebody that shines. And so I suppose you're right.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, so...
I see Kev snuck in last minute as well.
Has he? Oh, the, so I'll just bring you up with Kev. So Kev's gone for Drake May with a second overall pick and Jaden Daniels as the third. Kev's a bit of a Drake May guy, isn't he? So that's a Kev pick. He's gone over for the four trades, and he's gone for yes, the Vikings trade into the top five. So he's agreed with Lewis and Jack on everything so far. And he's gone for Patrick Paul as the last player picked in round one. But we'll move on to the next question, which is who takes the lowest value player? Now, I guess this is a skilled player position.
Well, this says based on PFF's big board. So I assume that'll be their board of top 100 players and whoever's the lowest on the board.
So we've got six different teams here. So this is quite an interesting one. This could split the points. I didn't mention that at the start. Lewis has set up a point system for us, and he's going to give us points. So we'll find out next week on how we all do. So Lewis has gone for the Las Vegas Raiders. I've gone for the Green Bay Packers. So hang on, let me just get up where these people are drafting so I can.
Raiders is 13, isn't it? Green Bay will be 22.
Oh, why is it? Sorry, it's just got off.
Denver's 12.
So the Raiders are 13. So that's quite a bold pick, unless he thinks they're going to move back. Green Bay are 25. Hanny, you gone for Denver. They are 12. Oh, that's brave. You think they're going to take the lowest value player? 12.
Well, we can discuss that in a moment.
Okay, we'll discuss that one in a moment. Ali's gone for Dallas Cowboys, which would have been my second pick because the Dallas Cowboys love to make a mess of things. Jack has gone for Buffalo, who pick at 28, and Kev's gone for the Chiefs, who pick number 32.
Well, ooh. I think that's a bit of a rubbish pick, isn't it?
That's a cop out pick, but yeah, I think the Chiefs trade out of that pick. If I'm honest, I think they trade out of that 32. But yeah, so come on then, give us why you think you're going to pick the lowest value player. Do you think they make a mess of their draft?
Well, I can see one of two scenarios. So one is that they stick and pick and they take someone like a Bo Nix super early, and therefore, you know, it just is poor value for where they're picking. Or they trade back because they haven't barely got any assets because of the Russell Wilson trade, etc. And they build up more assets that way, and then they end up, you know, in the second half of round one, and they just pick, you know, whatever they feel is the best player available. But also, you know, George Payton hasn't done a great job as GM, and I'm sure Sean Payton is going to try and put his stamp on things and make sure they pick the right guys. But I don't know, I just don't trust them. I think they're a massive mess at the moment, and I could just see them cocking it up. Bit like the Raiders, really.
Yeah. I'm guessing you and Lewis have got the same thought process here, that the Raiders are going to make a mess of things. Unless the Raiders trade up to four and take JJ McCarthy, and then Lewis has got it very wrong, you know.
So what is it about Green Bay then, Paul? Because they're still 10 picks from 32. Do you just think they're going to pick a rubbish player, or do you think that, you know, graded player, or
they pick 25?
25.
So they are quite far back. I just think that they just take something silly here, and I think they maybe go like wide receiver or something, and they don't need to, and I think it's just going to be a bit of a silly pick, because we've seen them in the past where they've just made random picks, and I just think they're going to do that, and I'm guessing that's what Ali's choice was with the Dallas Cowboys. You just see the Dallas Cowboys make these random picks sometimes. Sometimes they nail them and sometimes they're just really random. But if I'm honest, I think Green Bay Packers go a bit mental and draft a running back in round one.
No.
I think they go a bit silly.
No, surely not, Paul. Now they've got...
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, surely not.
I just don't think he's the answer.
He might not be the answer, but round one, that's very rich. I mean, there's nobody in this draft that deserves round one capital, is there?
Well, we've seen Stranger Things.
Green Bay think that there is.
Yeah, we've seen Stranger Things happen, you know. But we've done that question. So I stand out from the crowd in the next one. The next question is, who is the fourth wide receiver taken overall? And Lewis, yourself, Jack, Ali, and Kev all think it's going to be Brian Thomas Jr. Now, I love a Brian Jr., if I'm honest. But I've gone for Xavier Worthy. I think somebody will love his speed and really, really want that kind of player. I think, you know, I think, honestly, I think if he's still on the board around 21, I think Miami go for him at 21. Because they love a speedy player down at Miami. And I think they go for somebody like Xavier Worthy. But I think he's going to be the fourth wide receiver drafted. And the rest of you think Brian Thomas Jr. So do you want to speak on behalf of everyone else about Brian Thomas Jr.? Why you think he's going to be the fourth wide receiver taken?
I just think everyone has him really as that next tier of player, don't they? And I think ultimately there's the top three that kind of sit somewhere, you know, people have them rated differently, but they sit at the top. Then there's a gap, and then there appears to be Brian Thomas, and then there appears to be a gap, and then there's some more wide receivers. And so I think his talent, he has got that boom bust profile, but I think someone's going to pull the trigger on him first over some of these other guys that have been discussed going later in round one.
Fair enough.
I think we should go on to the wide receiver question next, actually, Paul, because this is an interesting one, I think, because I think people are getting super excited about these receivers, and I think there's going to be fewer go in the first round than people think.
Yeah, so the over-under for wide receivers is, what Lewis has given us is, over-under 5.5 wide receivers taken in round one. Now, me, Lewis, and Ali and Jack all think that there's going to be over. And you and Kev think that it's going to be under. Now, I thought this was about spot on, to be fair, about picks. You know what I mean? Because you can see them first three.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, you've got your MHJ, your Malik Nabers and your Adunze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So them three are done. They're set in stone. Now, again, you could make an argument that, you know, you could guarantee that another one goes. So you're talking four. So it's whether you think there's only going to be one other wide receiver taken or two other wide receivers taken. So this, I think this line is fair play, Lewis. I think you've nailed this question, but I could see two going. Okay. So I could see, obviously, I think Xavier Worthy is going to go before Brian Thomas. So I think if Xavier Worthy does go before Brian Thomas, I could see Brian Thomas going. But then I could see somebody at the back end of the draft named Kansas City sneaking another wide receiver in there somewhere. So that's why I've gone for the over. I think there's six wide receivers taken in the first round. But it does, now that I say it out loud, it does seem a bit of a mental number to go for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's quite a lot. And I think teams are going to think there's quite a lot of receiver depth in day two. And that they'd probably rather wait. You know, there's quite a lot of depth at offensive tackle, you know, in terms of round one. So I think they're going to want to probably look at getting, you know, if you need a tackle, get that in the first round and then go to receiver in round two. Like, there is going to be a run. There definitely is going to be a run on receivers. But I just think that's going to be delayed till day two, personally. I think people are going to let's try and get our other priorities in, you know, once those first four are gone. I think potentially five. I could see five going. I think six is too many.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think this is this is about right, because you can see four guaranteed. So it's whether you see one more or two more go. So fair play, Lewis. I'm just looking now. So last year you had Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quinton Johnson, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison go in the first round. So there was four last year. So I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, I should have gone for the under, shouldn't I? I should have gone for the under. But nope. We'll stick with the over. We'll stick with the over. We'll be brave. Be brave. Trust the process. but that'll take us quite nicely on to our next one, which is over under 4.5 QBs taken in round one. So again, this one seems to be a split field. You've got Lewis, you've got Ali and Kev all going for the over. So they think at least five QBs are going to be taken in round one. And me, you and Jack all going for the under. So I just, before we get into it, I just want to say that Lewis thinks that there's going to be over four trades in round one. Okay. He thinks that there's going to be at least five QBs drafted, and he thinks that there's going to be at least six wide receivers drafted.
He's got us overexcited, hasn't he? I think he's just excited for the draft to come.
So I think he's really, really excited for this draft, because that's a lot. There's a lot of movement, a lot of skill. And don't get me wrong, I think there are a lot of QBs and a lot of good wide receivers in this class. But, you know, to see 11 like players that are just QB and wide receivers to go in the first round of the draft seems a lot, like, you know, to me.
Yeah.
So I'm quite interested. I quite like Lewis to be here to talk us through some of his picks, to be honest. But
he'll have to explain when he's wrong next week, won't he?
Oh, I can't wait. But me and you both going for the under here. Are we? I take it we're both sort of on the same page here, that it could be just the three at the start and maybe JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, I think this is another one where we've got overexcited again, and someone's going to trade back in, or, you know, the Raiders are not going to care, or the Broncos are just going to grab their guy. And I just don't think teams think like that. You know, I think ultimately they do look at the value as much as we want to say they don't. And I just think that Bo Nix, Michael Penix, the value for them to go at 12 and 13 is just not there. So I think that is highly, highly unlikely, you know. And I think, is someone going to trade back in? I doubt it. You know, I think we just get overexcited and we want a million QBs to go in round one. And I think we've just got to reset a little bit. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they went high in round two, but I'm just not convinced they're going to go in round one.
I think the value of trading in round two as well is a lot cheaper and a lot more reasonable. And I think you may be right. Like somebody like Bo Nix, if at the start of round two, somebody may trade up to the start of round two and go, do you know what? He's worth a shot at the start of round two. So yeah, I quite like that one, to be fair. And so our last one is quite an interesting one. And that is, what does your team who does your team take in round one of the draft? So Kev has gone for, they love throwing these names at me, don't they? Terrion Arnold, is that how you say it?
Yeah, well done, Paul. Yeah.
And he's put Go Birds. Jack has gone for Drake May.
Who does Jack support?
I'm guessing.
I think he's a Patriots fan, wasn't he, when he came on? I'm sure that's what he said.
I'm sure. I was going to say, I'm guessing it's the Patriots. So he's probably going to be, well, let's see. Who does he think? He thinks Jaden Daniels, and he thinks Drake May third overall, and he wants Drake May. So I'm going to say he's a Patriots fan. That's unfortunate for him.
Not Ali, when thinks, he won six Super Bowls, though, is it?
Yeah, that's probably when he started supporting him. Ali thinks that the Bucks trade out of round one and they don't take anyone. I'd love to have got his thought on that, to be honest. And Lewis thinks that the Rams will take Brian Thomas Jr. You know, do they think that they need Brian Thomas Jr. with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp in that team?
Well, I can see them kind of thinking of what's the next steps. Cooper Kupp is getting older. He's had quite a lot of injuries recently. And who is there? Like, who's going to be the third pass catcher on that team?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, it's Sean McVay. He can't, you know, he can't help himself. He wants an offensive player, surely.
Oh, of course he does. Of course he does, to be fair. But I like it, to be fair. So, shall I go first, or do you want to go first? So, who do we want our team to take?
Well, I mean, we already know who you're going to say, Paul. You've been talking about it for the past 12 months.
Give me Marvin Harrison Jr., okay? I want him on my team. I want that shirt. I'm getting that shirt. And so I'm going to speak from my, you know, I want him. And I know that the Cardinals are going to trade out of that place because I want him. Okay, so I want them to take him, but whether we do or we don't is a different matter, you know?
So, like, thinking about it, you know, as a fan and obviously having followed the team, what do you think realistically they're going to do? Do you think they're going to trade out, or are they going to stick and pick?
I think they'll trade out, if I'm honest.
You think they'll trade back up again?
I think they're hoping one of these teams will panic and want JJ McCarthy. And I think, you know, I think there's, as much as I love Marvin Harrison Jr., I think there's three sort of wide receivers that are good wide receivers. You know, even if we could trade back a couple of spots and get Malik Nabers, I think that would be a good pick. So I don't know. After what I watched last year, where I was like, oh, we could, you know, because we were at two, was it two last year or three? And we could have got, no, it was three. We were at three. And it was like, oh, we could take Will Anderson Jr. And then the Texans traded with us. And it was like, oh, well, okay, we're not going to get him. And then we traded back, and then we trade, and we did all these trades, and we've got draft capital and stuff. And I appreciate all that. And I think he did really well. But I just think he's going to be somebody that's trying to build. They're trying to build a team. And I think it's one of them where it's like, yes, we want a wide receiver, but it wouldn't shock me if he goes, do you know what? We're going to move back four or five spots. We can still get another wide receiver, a good wide receiver, and pick up draft capital. So I suppose the smart thing to be done is to move back a little bit and maybe pick up a Nabers if we can and pick up some draft capital. But because I want MHJ, we're not going to get MHJ, and we're going to trade out of it.
Maybe you'll be getting a Dunze shirt instead, Paul.
I'll take it. I'll take it. And do you know what? Part of me hopes that happens because I know George, who does the Devi show, is a Seahawks fan, and he's a massive Dunze fan. So I'd love for him to come to the Cardinals, and he has to play for one of the rival teams so he can watch him score touchdowns against the Seahawks every season, you know? I think that would be amazing. That's
harsh, Paul.
Yeah, but it's worth it. So who do you want the Bengals to take in round one?
So who I want them to take and who I think they'd take, probably two different things. But, you know, the Bengals are a bit boring this year from like a skill player perspective. You know, I think realistically their needs are at O-line and D-line, and that'll be where they're focusing their picks in round one. I think realistically they want an O-lineman, and I think they want some of these like top four to drop. So like a Fashanu, a Troy Fatanu, a JC Latham. I think they want one of those. My suspicion is that there's going to be a run of them, and I think they're going to get not stuck with, but I think they're going to end up taking like an Amarius Mims, who makes me nervous because he's played like eight games ever in college. Like, he's got this massive upside, but he's just not proven. And that's totally the type of player that the Bengals end up with and then busts in round one. Like, I can just see it happening now. So if he's there, like if he's there and the D lineman is still on the board, why can't I think of his name now? Let me think of his name. I've been talking about it now all day. But anyway, I'm I don't want them to take Mims because I can just see us doing it. Byron Murphy. I think they'll. I want them to take Byron Murphy if the main tackles are off the board, but I think they're going to end up taking Amarius Mims, and then it'll be a bust, and then our O-line will continue to be a mess. So that's how I see it going. The Bengals just, I mean, they've done okay the last few years. I mean, we've been low down on the draft board, but like Dax Hill, he's not done anything. We can't find anywhere to put him. And then Miles Murphy has done okay, but he's not been amazing. He might take a leap this year, but, you know, I want us to whack it out the park, get someone who's like, I'm not bothered if they're not amazing, but just someone who's good and who will be a starter and, you know, add to our team. But I always just fear that we do the stupid thing, like taking John Ross at pick 9 and stuff like that, you know? So, or we took John Ross at pick 9, and do you know who went at pick 10 in that draft? Bloody Patrick Mahomes.
But didn't Mitch Trubisky go before Pat Mahomes as well?
Oh, yeah. He went, did he go 3? But, do you know what I mean?
What you want the Bengals to do is draft a good player.
Yeah, which I'm just not convinced they're going to do. So, who knows?
So, to sum it up, on our show, Hannah wants the Bengals to draft a good player, and I want them to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. And
yeah.
we both think we're going to, I think the Cardinals are going to trade out, and you think the Bengals are going to draft a crap player again. So,
exactly. Trade back is another possibility. So, yeah, we're hanging our hopes on our franchises, and we don't quite trust them, do we?
Yeah, that's it. But like I said, guys, we are going to do, I don't know what the scoring system is. I don't know if Lewis is going to be nice and give us 3 points or 2 points or 1 point, but we have set up a sheet, so we will keep track of it, and we will update you when I win this next week, and Hannah will come second and Lewis will come last. But we all know it'll be the other way around. But yeah, that's it. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on X at Wildcard Rewind, or head on over to our YouTube channel, search for the Fantasy Wildcard, and make sure you give us a like and subscribe. And we will see you next week.